Welcome back to the Underground Garage Frat Rock Party, celebrating the re-release of Dave Marsh's great book, Louie Louie. The actual title is Louie Louie, the History and Mythology of the World's Most Famous Rock and Roll Song, including the full details of its torture and persecution at the hands of the King's men, J. Edgar Hoover's FBI, and a cast of millions. And introducing for the first time anywhere, the actual dirty lyrics. Yeah, it's all been re-released by the University of Michigan Press. God bless them. Now, interestingly, both the King's Men and Paul Revere and the Raiders versions of Louie Louie would break into the national charts around the same time. They were all friends, both bands living in Portland. They both recorded at the same place, Northwest Recorders. And they both used the same engineer, Bob Lindell, cutting their respective records possibly as close as 2 days apart. The Raiders were the much hotter band at the time, and becoming the first band signed to the Columbia label virtually ensured their record would be the one to make it. Ken Chase was the program director of the local Top 40 station, KISN, and managed the King's Men. Jack Ely, lead singer of the King's Men, had been bugging him to record the song, but he kept saying they weren't ready. So the band did an hour and a half marathon set of nothing but Louie Louie to make their point. And he booked the studio the next day. They walked in, 10 a.m., set up, started playing. About halfway through, Ken Chase, now producing, said, hold on, start over, and let's do a run through for levels. Now the vocal mic hung from the ceiling. So Jack Ely, already struggling with braces on his teeth, had to stand on tiptoe to get to the mic, making him slur the words even more than usual. Lynn, the drummer, stumbled halfway through and never quite recovered. Mike missed his usual timing on the guitar solo. By the time Jack sang that final Let's Go, the band was relieved to have made it through the track at all. Now they were ready for the first real take. Instead, they heard, okay, that was great. What do you want to do on the B-side? You gotta be kidding, they thought. No, really, it was great. And Chase's enthusiasm carried the day. So they made up an instrumental called Haunted Castle, which, by the way, was not about the Spanish Castle venue in Seattle, made famous by Jimi Hendrix, since the King's Men hadn't played there yet in 1963. And the whole recording process took about 9 minutes. As they packed up, Bob Lindell, the engineer, asked who was paying. The band pointed to Chase, the manager-producer. What do you mean, he said. I'm not paying. How much is it, they asked. $52, said Lindell. All right, I got 10, said Jack. Me too, said Mike. And they collected the $52, gave it to Lynn Easton's mother, who was there to drive them, and she wrote a check to the studio.